carriage before the horse, or however you want to call that, the horse before the carriage or the carriage before the horse. But I didn't talk about the journey that I was on to get to the point where I'm at now as we get into holiday season officially. Wow, man, it's kind of crazy. I'm about to wrap up 5 years on the podcast. 5 fucking years, and I haven't blown up. What the fuck's wrong with it? What is going on? Why am I not a millionaire? You know, it's fascinating because I still stick with the same mantra. I'm just doing this for fun. I'm not promoting it. I'm not fucking doing anything. I like what I'm doing. I love putting my life out there. I love putting my thoughts out there. I love seeing the change. I don't give a fuck if you know me and you listen to this. Yeah, good for you. It lets you not call me. It lets you not bother me. And you still stay nosy. So I know when I fucking die, I don't reach out to my daughter, right? But anywho, I had a very interesting journey in a way, in a great way, I would say, that was encapsulated, or it's officially taken off as the second part of the relationship that I was in. You know, I was not in a relationship for 6 or 7 months. I obviously chronicled that and talked about it. And during that journey of being on my own and doing my thing and having fun and just kind of shifting to new surroundings, new area, new thing, that there was a lot of conversations behind the scenes that were going on. And many of those conversations were, I didn't understand them at that time. But I'm going to take you through this journey of how to get to the point of where I got, as far as being able to forgive, being able to, being able to reacclimate with your partner, be able to make amends. And I think it all started with having the resentment built from the experience I had that I talked about before. And when that event happened, it caused a lot of resentment automatically. And that's something that when in the past, in my history of life, when I have resentment built in, I learned this very clearly during my respite period. Respite period for me was when I divorced, when I moved out of my house, all the way through that relationship that I was in recently. 6 years, I want to say. In that period, I was able to find a lot of things about myself, how I held a lot of resentment towards a lot of people and wasn't able to let go of it in a lot of cases. And in some cases, I was able to let it go. So, but I know that what happens with me when I have a falling out with somebody and I feel I was the victim, I hold on to a lot of resentment. So that was the beginning one of this one, that when the breakup of the relationship happened, automatically, boom, I have resentment built in. And what that does is a wall of, I don't want to communicate with you. I don't wish you ill will, but I don't want to feel like we're going to be connected in this journey of life at the time being. That's how I felt with my girlfriend. I said, I love you. I think you're a great person. But obviously things were said and done that make me feel very hurt. And I don't want to continue moving forward with you. And I have a lot of resentment. And that was something that I was working through for a while. Because one thing about my girlfriend was that she wasn't giving up, man. She was like still on it. She was relentless. And I'll tell you why at the end of this. Why I know that it's different, right? So, but she was relentless, wanted to talk and all this shit, right? I'm like, okay, whatever. And then there was a point where she goes, I want to say like 4 months later into it. She goes, hey, man, I need to talk to you about this. And I'm like, okay. Random talks. I'm like, okay. We go and we have a conversation. She comes over and she's like, I wanted to let you know that I apologize. You know, I sincerely apologize because I realized that I caused a lot of pain. Even though it wasn't my intention, you were still holding on to that resentment of me. And I didn't realize that. I didn't understand that. Like, I was trying to talk to you and not knowing that you still had this resentment towards me that made you not want to talk to me, not want to engage with me, not want to do these things. And I'm a person that ultimately, I'm all for mending fences. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. He or she make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, right? And maybe the decisions you made at that time weren't the best for that person. Maybe they intentionally hurt somebody deliberately or subconsciously. But at the end, when you have a level of accepting of accountability, in my world, I'm able to let go of whatever it is in the past. So like the example that I can give, like, so that this one was very good because she sincerely, my girlfriend sincerely went, you know what, dude, I truly fucked up, man. I didn't realize how deep this event hurt you. I just thought it was, you know, she kind of explained it from her point of view, but at the end, she really took in the pain that she created for me that caused the resentment, that caused the walls to be up. And that was a big moving point for us. That was like 4 months after the breakup, give or take, I think. And from that, I was like, wow, okay, she gets it. Because a lot of women, a lot of people in relationships, if you notice, they're never fucking wrong. There's never any self-accountability. And at that point, I was sticking to my guns because I'm saying to myself, this person doesn't understand the pain they caused me, like how deep that resonated with me. That was such a painful thing that I experienced. But it was very fascinating for me because it does stick to what I thought of myself, which is I'm able to forgive. If someone takes accountability for what they've done and what they said and doing it in a fashion where it's genuine, you know, like that's why, like, I go to my other spectrum of my sister. She'll be like, I'm sorry for the stuff I did. That's as good as it gets. I'm sorry for stuff I did. Whatever I did, whatever you think I did, I'm sorry, but you did stuff too. And I'm like, well, I mean, how, I'm saying to myself, well, how genuine is that? Like, how genuine is that? It's the same thing when I talk to my dad. It's like, yeah, you know, I did some shit that I shouldn't have done and I feel bad, but bop, 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 bop. Like, there just isn't any type of, hey, I'll own up this part of it. And, you know, like my dad, I went up there. I said, look, I own up my part of it of not making the effort to stay in touch with you. And this is my way of doing it. But on the other side, he's like, well, I apologize, but this. It's like there's this level of pride, of never being wrong, of not feeling. What I notice with people is when they feel when they apologize, there's this level of ego that gets crushed or gets hit. And I have no problem doing that. I have no problem apologizing for, hey, but I have to feel the other person is also wanting to have remorse and accountability for what they did. I have two friends that I live together with that we had a bad experience moving out. I made a decision to move out. They both went crazy on me. One of them, I was able to reconcile, and I would say we're still in good terms. We don't talk to each other, but there's a lot of love there because he understood what his part of it was, right? He understood, and he owned up to it. The other friend, they're not owning up to anything. They're still like, hey, whatever's gone, but I'm not going to forget how that went down, right? They're not going to see it from my point of view. So that connection isn't as close as the first one that I talked about, forgiveness, you know, and you got to have that level of forgiveness. So once I was able to, number one, go through my resentment phase, then I went into forgiveness. Then in accepting the things that we both did mutually to cause each other to be in the state that we were in, there was one more thing that needed to happen. And in my end, it was removing the fear. One of the things about me as a person is that I don't like repeating the same mistakes. That's why I talk about not legally marrying again. Because I say, I'm not going to do that again. Because if something, God forbid, happens, then I want to be able to get the fuck out. I want to be able to get out with what I came in and not have this complicated court get in the middle of it. I really don't, right? But it was removing the fear was such a huge thing in the relationship moving forward the way it has. Because for the longest time, once that implosion happened, I moved on and she wanted to be friends. And I removed resentment. Definitely forgiveness was exchanged. Acceptance of that forgiveness was done. But then the fear was still there, strong from my end anyway. It was like, shit, I'm not trusting anything you say. I'm not going to go ahead and believe anything you're fucking saying because I can't trust you to be the person that I thought you would be. So that was hanging in there for quite a while too. The fear. I'm like, I don't want to give you any hope of something more happening, because even though I do feel that we are deeply connected, the reality is that we have kids and we parent differently. And especially for me, I parented from a different perspective. And this is something that's a reality for me, that when I was in my respite period, I didn't, when it comes to blending families, the one thing I learned is very important is that you have to train your kids to know that you have to share time with other people. And I didn't do that. I didn't do that because I overcompensated for the neglect I experienced growing up. And I went ahead and said, okay, I don't want my child to feel neglected, to not feel loved, to not feel that I'm not attentive to her needs. So therefore, I'm going to overcompensate and be there at her beckoning and do all these different things that created a big extreme explosion from her when I ended up living in with my girlfriend and her kids and the dog. And that was a really, and moving into a different city, that was just too much for her to handle because everything revolved around her. And I created it that way because I never saw myself being in a relationship ever again. I said to myself when I left the marriage, there is no fucking way I'm going to be in a relationship, because my experiences with women, it's like they want you to cater to them. They want you to treat them like royal queens without giving you any royal service, if you get with the drift. And that was something that would blow my mind over and over and over. And as I would talk to people, that there was always a level, and I'll go into that later, but there was just always terms had to be met. And if you didn't meet them, goodbye. So I realized that, hey, man, the way I'm built, I'm not made for these relationships. I'm made to deal with married women. I'm made to deal with women that have been married 3 or 4 times and have kids growing out of the house, and they have nothing. And they realized that the way they went about relationships was totally all wrong. So, and this one, removing fear, was really huge for me, because we were having a conversation and she goes, hey, man, like, you know, I don't know, man, you could still hang on to that fear, but I moved on. Because in her mind, she already got her piece of being forgiven and accepting that. And in her own way, she kind of moved on. She was already talking to people. She was already doing her thing. But when we were having that conversation, exactly, and she was telling me, look, if you're going to hold on to that fear with me, when I already moved on and I've done my work during this time we haven't been together, and I've worked on the shit that created issues from my side, and I'm good with it, and trust me, I've done the work, then that's on you. You know, if you want to still think I'm in that same mindset, I'm in that same zone, and I'm not handling the things like I should have handled them before, then that's on you, man. That's on you, bro. So when that conversation happened, I was able to remove fear. I was able to say, you know what? Why am I still stuck in this mindset? Already forgiven. I've already accepted what's happened. So why am I hanging on to fear? Because it's not as if we're, like, we already learned from this. We already grew from it. We're not trying to recreate this thing all over again, because we know that there's just too many variables outside of our connection that won't let it happen in a healthy congruency. A lot of it is my end, you know. A lot of it is just other people that are outside of our realm, both the kids and other things. But removing the fear was huge for me, because once I was able to remove resentment and remove the fear from my end, then you're able to start having these open dialogues with her, which encountered a lot more self-accountability, understanding that, you know, I could have done things better as well in the relationship, where I could have done, like I talked about, better job of parenting, trying to get in cahoots, not giving in to what my daughter, to the parenting that my daughter, because at the end, when I moved here by myself just to reset again, she was still, we're still having issues with her. And we both, mom and I, realized that, hey, we got to get her grown the fuck up. And during this period of time, I believe she's grown up from a 6-year-old to an 11-year-old now. We still got ways to go, but there's been a lot of growth from my daughter. Like, one of the biggest growths that I've seen in this summer and going to that middle school where they culture shocked the fuck out of her. It's like, bro, like, you know, you're not in fucking elementary school anymore. You know, like, you're in big kid school and we're going to talk shit about you and all this stuff. And, you know, the world hardens you. It makes you rough. And that's why I have the outlet of theater, of all of that, because I want her to still have a little bit of a pixie dust and be able to sprinkle it on the world and be creative with it, because she's a creative child. But the beginning of the mirror work began. That's what I call it. And the mirror work comprises of you looking in the mirror and seeing what things you should be better at. So when I talk about the mirror work, there's plenty of things that I talked about. It was not having enough sympathy, like just thinking of a logical process of how to be in a relationship, being not stubborn, but being steadfast on what I did. So there are many times in a relationship where she would want to do something and I'm like, I don't do that. That's something that I didn't do before. So what am I going to do with you now? Or she wanted to do it, and I'm saying to myself, no. Or I tell her, I already did that. I've done that plenty of times. It doesn't excite me. Like, I would be like Grumpy Smurf. Just fucking, hey, I hate this. Or not saying it, but my demeanor would say that. I didn't want to hang out with her people all the fucking time. Because it was always a fucking party. And my daughter, it was just people. She has a big group of network of people. Whereas with me, it's like they just keep falling by the wayside every day. Because they don't match the effort. They don't care. They don't call. They don't text. Or they call at their own rate. Like, men are different in that sense. That if we don't have a hobby or if we don't live close by, the women are the ones that create the social circles. The kids and the women are the create the social circles for the men to interact in. Right? That's how it is. Either that or through your hobbies. But because a lot of times men just, once they get married and have kids, that's their life. They're not still staying connected to their college people or the buddies. The college buddies are coming all together and bringing the women along because women are just not that way. Like my buddy, you have a saying all the time, women ruin it all. When it comes to the social circles of guys, once guys start getting married, because the women don't want to fraternize for the sake of the other men. They just like, hey, they want to fraternize in their circles and then drag their men along. It's the way the world works. But in the mirror work, I realized that there were a lot of things that I did wrong in the relationship. And I was having lots of those conversations with my girlfriend. I was like, you know, like I realized that these things that I wasn't seeing it from the point of view that you were talking about, now I'm seeing it, you know. And lastly, that cost the biggest shift of to be where I'm at now. And it was a paradigm shift. I call it a paradigm shift because I realized all along what her energy was that I never realized before. And it was the level of unconditional love. Basically, the way she was going about the relationship with me was from a point of view of unconditional love. Minnow, you fuck up. Minnow, you make mistakes. Minnow, you do this, that, and the third. But you're such a great guy that I will love you unconditionally. And we're going to figure this out. Whereas with me, my whole life has always been conditional love. Whereas I'm only good to people if I'm doing things for them. Girls love me if I do certain things for them. Until I do those things, there's deal breakers, right? And they're not going to be with me anymore. So friends, same thing. Family, same thing. Like, if I don't do what family wants you to do, then I'm not giving the love that I... Oh, man. I lost Sarah. Hold on for a second. I don't even know what happened. I don't know what happened. But anyway, but I was talking about that, you know, conditional love has been part of my life. Like, conditional love has been the staple in my life, whether it's from my parents, whether it's from they love me as long as I do things for them. Girlfriends, wives, they love me if I do these things, right? And I know other people may think of, okay, well, that's, you got to have self-respect. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But if you truly love someone unconditionally and you're able to forgive, then you can overcome everything. So the whole time, I'm realizing this. I told her this. I just realized this. I realized that the love you were giving me was totally different than what anyone else in my life has given me and what anyone else is willing to give me. Unconditional love. There's only one person in the world that can still give me that. It's my daughter. That's why I exuded so much energy towards her. That's why I did so much of that towards her, because in my head, I'm like, she's the only person left in the world that can give me unconditional love that I've never received. And growing up, that's the way I wanted to love. That's the way I wanted to be. Like, that's the way I acted. I treated friends more loving than I did my own family, because I loved them so much for what they did for me. I would love somebody through their mistakes, right? And that wasn't exercise for me in return. I was living in a world of conditions. And what happened with me as I reflected back during this reflection work of mine was that I've always wanted to love unconditionally to people around me, but I never received the unconditional love in return. And because of that, I just left my love conditional. That's why I just make it so businesslike. That's why I make it transactional. That's why I do it the way I do it, because, or the way I've done it. Because no one else in this world that I met was doing it unconditionally. And when I realized that she was the only person that outside of my daughter that gives me unconditional love, I was like, holy fuck, now that makes sense. It makes sense why you wanted to still fight for it. It makes sense why you wanted to have these conversations. It makes sense why, because you still loved me unconditionally. You still wanted to work something out with me and not let go of it, because you, when you chose to love me, when she chose to love me, she loved me unconditionally, not with anything to gain, and it was like, I get that now. Because I get it, because I've always wanted to love unconditionally. So when I shifted, I had what I call the paradigm shift of like, oh, wow, this whole time when you were telling me about doing certain things, I was looking at it through a lens of conditional love. I was looking at all these things from a world of conditional love. All these, why didn't I have a conversation with you? And that was something that my friend told me in these conversations that, when I led up to the breakup, he told me, Minnow, that's the worst thing a woman can tell you. But you gotta get in that room. You gotta lock it up. You gotta just air it all out. Air it all out. Like, air it all out. Fucking say you go to war, whatever it is. But you cannot leave. Like, this is, like, he was telling me about unconditional love. And I didn't fucking get it. I was like, fuck that. Like, she fucking did me wrong. Fuck that. I'm not going to go there. Right? So now, because of my openness to this, because I was able to forgive, remove resentment, I was able to accept my wrongs in the relationship and remove the fear and do my mirror work and realize that I have to have a paradigm shift. And now this person that I'm with is like, I love her unconditionally. Like, I love her just like she loves me unconditionally. She loves my kid. She was heartbroken because she loves unconditionally. When she lets it flow, she lets it flow. She doesn't want to love any other way. So when she opens up that heart space, that's what it is. That's what I was experiencing that I didn't know. Because many of us are not able to love unconditionally because we're afraid. And people take advantage of us, and they I mean, there's nothing like worse than to have a narcissist, ego-driven person get a hold of an unconditional lover. You know, that's when those ugly stories happen, you know? And luckily for us, luckily for me, I guess I was able to see the light. And now I'm like totally happy. I'm totally in a great place. I'm able to still be myself. I know that love conquers all, no matter what differences we have, whether it's with our children, whatever it is, whatever topic it is not going to be placed above love. Resentment is not going to be placed above love. Fucking fear is not going to be placed above love. Jealousy is not going to be placed above love. Don't get me wrong. You're going to have conversations about it. If you feel a certain way, there's going to be a platform for that. There's going to be healthy, open conversations. But the beauty of it is knowing that both sides are placing love above all. You know, if I want to talk about this, okay, doesn't mean that we don't love each other. We're trying to run away. We want to figure it out as partners. And when you think of it that way, that's what I've been telling the people, my friends and people I talk to, that in your relationship, you have to learn to place love above it all. You got to remove your ego. You got to work on not letting stuff trigger you that may get you defensive or may hurt your feelings. Just know that love is above that. But two people have to be in it, right? I mean, two people have to truly have to put their ego aside and say, love is above all. And that's a very hard thing. And I know that's why the magic that we have, the magic that we share, that people see around us. Like, my mom was like totally loving it. Like, my mom in her own way was like totally cool. You guys keep talking, like, you do you. Like, my mom, out of her, everyone else could tell there's magic between us when we hang out. We truly do complement each other in a yin and yang effect. It's a beautiful thing. We're back at it. I feel, and I tell her this all the time, that we are, this is basically how it is before we moved in, before the fears kicked in of things happening, right? And we're removing, and for my end, I'm removing conditional love out of it. Now it's no more conditional. Now I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love your life, your people, your kids, all of this. It's not, it's just viewing it from a different point of view, that if you're not able to understand that, then you got to do a lot of work. And I'll leave with this, because I realized that, and I was telling her this and she was laughing about it, but I think for her, she's so happy. I mean, I'm happy too, but she's happy because it's not only about reconciling and being back together, but understanding her point of view. And her not having to explain to me saying it out of my own mouth. And she's just like, bingo, bingo, bingo. Because I know the one thing that doesn't allow people to move and grow and be better is they hold on to ways, they're stubborn about things. That's why I always hated that label with me, because I am quickly to shift if I feel something is impeding in my growth. I don't hang on because I'm not nostalgic by nature. I'm not a person that hangs on to something because, that's how my parents raised me. No, fuck that. Or that's how I grew up. No. That's not. If it's something better that I can do, I'm going to do it. If it's something that makes sense, I'm going to do it. And if that means letting go of something I've been doing for the last 15 years, that's what I do. You know, and because at the end, there's a Muhammad Ali quote I always say, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he talked about, if I met a man that told me that he never changed in 50 years, I will tell him that he has wasted 50 years of his life. And in this experience that I've had over the last 6 or 7 months with her, going through the journey of resentment and forgiveness and acceptance, removing fear, having self-accountability, doing the mirror work, and then having the paradigm shift to where now I understand what she was giving me. She was giving me unconditional love. something that no woman has ever given me, that has never spoken it out loud to me, has never shown me. It's and you guys say, what about your mom? Well, my mom is like, she loves me, but she doesn't. I believe that it's she's dealt with a lot of trauma that didn't allow her to love like a lot of moms can. So that put me in a position of being Mr. Butler, Mr. Belvedere, being a person that it's just more the relationship that I have with her is more of doing things for her than having genuine conversations. And my girlfriend saw that. It was very evident to her that, you know, she's just limited in certain ways. And that's okay. Like, that doesn't take away from me not loving her and not caring for her. And obviously, she doesn't really want to leave the area. So it's like, you know, that's going to be the pickle. You know, how can I help if she's so far away, right? But that's the journey. The journey that I went to back to love. And it's beautiful because she also grew a lot. Like, she grew so much from that experience, realizing what things she did wrong. And it's marvelous because I could see some things that she wasn't on board with before that now she's on board with. And I'm like, oh, wow. Because she's also learned to let go of things that were fear-based, that were from the past. Like, what she told me very vividly was, you know, for me to have a man of your caliber, your quality, I had to learn to let go of the shit that didn't allow me to be good to you, that didn't allow me to be the woman that I'm capable of being, because we're lingering on past behaviors, protecting ourselves from past trauma in relationships in this case. And I did the same thing. That's why I looked at it from a business point of view. That's why I was like, okay, you bring this to the table, I'll bring this to the table. We're not going to sign any papers contractually, whatever it is. But now when I look at the paradigm shift that I had, and now it's loving unconditionally, loving in a way with this woman, knowing that no matter what we say to each other, love conquers all. Like, we're going to put love in the forefront no matter what. It changes the mindset night and day. And I know that the fun that we had, the energy that we shared, the comedy, the best friend, all of these things. I wish everyone can experience that. I think people have to compromise and then can never truly share who they are because the other person is not able to adapt to the changes, or is not able to come to a healthy compromise that allows you to be you and still not feel like it takes away from the love that you share for them. It's hard, but that's the journey of love, of unconditional love. And it's one where I'm going to write about it, actually. I think it's one that's worthwhile because I believe that while I'm not... Love is something that... I believe in peace and tranquility above all. I still believe in that. You're never going to sell me on the idea that I'm going to be happier being in love than I am going to be by myself, meaning in a relationship. I understand we need to live in a community, but when I see priests and nuns and Buddhists and monks, you know, they're happily living their lives. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they don't go down to the village and get some head or something like that, but they're living a life without the emphasis of you having a partner and being happily ever after, is my point. Like, that doesn't resonate with me in happiness. But I also believe when you find somebody as highly connected as I am with my partner on a personal, emotional, sexual level, then and not only that, but having the compatibility, having the same priorities, and being there for one another and loving from the scope of unconditional love is one where I can't stress it to you enough. To hopeful romantics, you have to, in a way, love unconditionally, and you have to hope that the partner you choose also decides to love unconditionally, because that's the magic that creates the love that we see in these movies and all these things. It's like this level of, not that, you know, the other person walks all over you and they do whatever the fuck want to do, you say, yeah, I'll forgive you, it's all good. Like, that's not healthy. But it's understanding that if you evolve, if you change, or if you want things, if you want to be yourself, be an individual, be still pursue or have all these things that society will make you feel as unattainable in the confines of a relationship. If you find somebody that loves you unconditionally and you love them unconditionally back and you have as much compatibility and you live in the same zip code, like I like to say, when it comes to the ideas of what you want a relationship to be, then you're going to be in a place where I'm at. And I'm beyond excited to see what this journey brings. Give it time. This ain't my body. Just look me in my eyes, man. Oh, you're killing me softly. Now I'm in the class, I'm